Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael, the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and we'd like to welcome you tonight once again to our weekly Pastoral Connect Bible study and prayer. We are grateful to the Lord for his goodness and mercy upon us, and we declare emphatically with the spirit of praise and thanksgiving that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads with us as we go before the Lord in prayer before we begin our lesson and go into prayer corporately. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we honor your presence tonight, and we thank you for your mercy upon us. We thank you that you have taken us through this day where we have turned down our plates to draw our minds and hearts towards you, to believe you for the great things that you have ordained for our lives, and to intercede on behalf of those who need deliverance, who need a merciful interjection, who need a divine extension of favor. Lord God, some need a healing in their body. Some need a healing in their soul. Lord God, you know right now, whatever the issues are tonight, we come in the spirit of unity. We come in the spirit of thanksgiving. We come with the spirit of expectation. Lord God, knowing that there is a blessing in store today, we turn down our plates and we thought about you. We turn down our plates and believe you for great things. And even now, for those that are on this line and those to whom we intercede, for whom we intercede, we ask, Lord, that you would move mightily. Lord God, move mightily in their direction. Lord God, give them clarity. Give them understanding. Let their hearts be open to your voice. Let their spirits and their souls be yielded to your direction, knowing that you are a God of mercy and grace. But you will lead us and you will guide us, and it's up to us to follow. You will give us your word, and it is up to us to obey. You will lead us and guide us into all truth with the spirit of truth, but it is up to us to say yes to your will, to yield to you in the spirit of obedience, knowing that disobedience is like unto the spirit of witchcraft. And so, Lord God, tonight, we thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke. And we ask that that anointing would be released on this line in the midst of the teaching, in the midst of the prayer, in the midst of the coming together of your people. And we thank you in advance. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Today is Tuesday, February 16th in the year 2021. It almost seems like it was just yesterday that we came into this new year. And here we are, a month and a half into it already, and before you know it, the first 2 months will be behind us. God is merciful. God is gracious. Tonight, what the Lord put in my spirit for the lesson, and I'm going to put it in the chat because I think that it's important, and I want to make sure that you all get it. Tonight's focus is not I, but Christ. Living a life of and by faith and love. Living a life of and by faith, of and by love. Not I, but Christ. As I was going through the lessons that we had shared with you and looking forward to what God has put in my spirit, we know that the focus for this year is simply coming straight out of the Word of God. It shall be done in 21. We know that the Lord has shared this with us to share with you out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 20 and 21. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but Also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, I also wanted to share with you, and I want you to make sure you put this in your notes. I'm putting the verses in the chat. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This, for those that may not know, and hopefully everyone from Beulah Tabernacle remembers, this is the theme verse for our ministry. This is the key verse, the theme verse for the ministry of Beulah Tabernacle that goes along with our church motto, which is take the limits off God. When you go to our website, on the right-hand side, very conspicuously, you will see our church motto, take the limits off God, to be followed immediately by this verse of scripture. God knew that there would come a time when what he shared with me so many years ago, that the Spirit would bear witness concerning our trajectory. The motto of our ministry, along with our mission statement, speaks underscoring these five words: take the limits off God. It's powerful to me as I see the connection between where we were and where we are, but where we were with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, where we are with Matthew chapter 21, verse 20 through 21, but also where we are going, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. When the Lord directed me to these interestingly connected and related verses, it blew my mind. He was speaking to my spirit and putting things together, connecting the dots. And as I read this to you tonight from Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, I want you to allow these words to resonate within your spirit. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What I love about this group of three verses, Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, Matthew 21, verse 20 and 21, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, is it speaks profoundly to me in my spirit concerning this ministry, the foundation, the present state, and the future state. I want to encourage somebody tonight to know this, that your staggering days are over. The Lord is taking the stagger. Lord, have mercy. I know we got some young people on this line, and they might be able to relate to this a little bit more powerfully. Some of you are older, but you are contemporary in your thinking. He's removing the stagger and replacing it with his swagger. Hallelujah. The staggering steps are the steps of someone that's under a weight and someone that's about to possibly fall over. Uncertain steps, steps that are with anxiety, steps that are even with fear. But when we think of someone that's got swagger, glory to God, it emits confidence. It displays power. It shows that I'm going somewhere. And there's a confidence about it that is clear and it is unmistakable. It's a clear giveaway of where and how the person is going and how they feel about it. It can even be considered a parading. My God, my God. Parades are usually something that follows the accomplishment of a great thing or the encouragement towards something that's powerful that's about to take place. Either way, it reflects accomplishment, either anticipated or finished. And so tonight, I'm speaking to somebody by the Holy Ghost. He's going to teach your staggering days. My God, my God. This is where you have to understand what replaced the stagger with swagger. It was because Abraham held on to faith. He exercised his faith through allowing God to guide him through the experiences of his life. Your faith will not be any stronger than the experiences that you've trust God to take you through. A lot of people have had many experiences, but they haven't been trusting God. They've been questioning God. They've been disgruntled. They have been hemming and hawing. They've been making excuses. But when you move from the spirit of complaining to the spirit of confidence, this is what Abraham did. He was strong in faith and gave glory to God. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And with this confidence comes the swagger. Some people might think it's a little arrogant. Some people may think it's a little cocky, but this confidence, this parading, this powerful stride of assurance. Oh my God. I want you to check out your walk. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit, by faith in God, is moving you from stagger to swagger. In tonight's lesson, the Lord particularly was dealing with me concerning the issue of working. When I say the issue of working, I want you to understand that God has called us into the marvelous light. He's called us out of darkness. He's called us out of sin. He's called us out of living a life of trying to prove something to him. And tonight, when I was putting this lesson together and thinking about this throughout the week, the Lord was dealing with my heart because sometimes when we talk about these goals, sometimes people can be very hard on themselves and they can become legalistic in their thinking and feel that if I do not accomplish this, that somehow God is disappointed. Now, rest assured, God wants us to be people of progress. God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our souls prosper. It is absolutely his will for us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to add to our faith virtue. So clearly, it's important that there is growth. And I want you to understand that even when we talk about the positioning of abiding in him, to let his words abide in us, it is important that you understand that That's how our growth takes place. Our growth takes place in connection. But I don't want you to ever think that your relationship, your love relationship, your relationship of grace and favor is tied to something that you have to do. Jesus paid it all. What Christ did on the cross fulfilled God's requirement to make salvation possible. Jesus did it. We're not working for salvation. We're not working even for grace. Grace is given to us freely without merit. It is favor without merit, the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon undeserving mankind. This element of law and grace, it was an element that had brought great stress to people in the faith because they feel or they've been taught that they need to perform to impress God, that they need to do to gain his favor. We don't work for grace. We don't work for favor. Our lives are lives of faith. We don't work to be healed. Some might feel that the reason why I'm sick is because I didn't do something right, that God is judging me and he's using sickness to spank me. Don't think that way about God. Don't think that way about God. That's not your heavenly Father. No one can be justified by works. We are not justified or declared guilt-free or righteous. We're not justified by works. We are justified by faith. No person, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, no person will be justified by works of the law. It was through the law that we became conscious of sin, recognizing that sin was working in us. It provided a spotlight, but it did not provide a remedy. The law provided a spotlight, but it did not provide a remedy. I need somebody to get Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. And I also need someone to get 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 8. Someone, please begin reading Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. And let's take it slow, one verse at a time.
For I thought the law and dead to the law. For I do the law and dead to the law that I might live unto God.
Okay, hold on there 1 second. Paul is saying, this is Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. the law actually did something with Paul. And what it did was give him rules, rules to live by, rules that may change mind, but not change heart. And so what actually is taking place through the law is this mindset of rule keeping. Rule keeping to please God. The law, its demands, what the law demanded brought death, because the wages of sin is death. And because I was powerless to keep the law, for any time I wanted to do good, evil presented itself. And not that we are helpless. That's not the issue here in terms of making an excuse for sin, but it is understanding the power of sin, sin's power. Romans chapter 8 speaks to us concerning the law of the Spirit of life versus the law of sin and death. This verse 19 speaks to us concerning the aspects of the law of sin and death. Basically, you either keep the law or you die. The L-A-W. You either keep it or you die. And if you break one point of it, you are guilty of all of it. And so because man's nature is prone to sin, trying to be a rule keeper or a law man was futile. You can work yourself into a frenzy and into depression and alienation from God by trying to live by keeping rules. This is where grace comes in. Anytime you don't keep the law, condemnation comes immediately, and there is the death. What Christ offers is forgiveness and salvation and deliverance by grace. And so what Paul is saying here, I had to put the law aside so that I could live unto God. I quit being this law man so that by grace I could become God's man. I put the law aside because Christ has come, and what Christ has offered is better. But look at where and how this came about. Verse 20, please.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
So what we see here in verse 20 is a radical shift from me doing the work to Christ doing the work. Christ was crucified. The central element of verse 20 is the selfless act of love that brought Jesus to the cross to die in my place. Jesus paid it all. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It took Jesus to do it. We can't do it. We don't even keep ourselves right now. Tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. It's not us doing it. This, what's happening right now in me is because I'm connected to Jesus by the cross. Paul speaks here of the love that took my place. Christ was crucified for me. He was crucified for me. It was for my sin. It was for my failure. It was for my inability. It was for my recklessness. It was for my proclivities and everything about me that was not God. Jesus took our sins upon himself. The text says that now, after having seen this incredible display of love that Christ has shown, I now identify with him. I'm identifying with him who died for me. When Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, Paul is talking that the fact of what is operating inside of me now, I love the fact that he says, I. He doesn't say my thoughts are crucified. He doesn't say my ways are crucified. He doesn't say my attitude is crucified. He says, I am crucified. This I represents the totality of my identity, my ego, everything about me. Everything about me. He took my place. And so his vicarious suffering was the suffering I should have suffered. He did it for me, and I experienced it vicariously by accepting the fact that it was my sin that put him there. But what Jesus did in crucifixion was for me. What I do in the vicarious identifying with the crucified Christ is what I do with him. This with speaks of the fact that I join myself with Christ so that I'm no longer driven by the mindset of work. I'm not driven by ego. I'm not driven by performance. I'm moved by love. I live because Jesus is alive in me. Christ, he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that's living in me. I am reflecting him because I've identified, I've turned my back on the world. I'm dead to it. I have made my mind up to be dead to it, but it's more than a change of mind. The Holy Ghost has given me a change of nature. And by the fact of the redemptive work of Jesus, the law has lost its power over me. The law has lost its power because I've accepted what Christ has done. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Everything God has for me relating to salvation, deliverance, and even favor is a gift. Whether I do these goals between now and the end of May will not take away the favor I have with God. I need you to understand this. I don't need you to have a warped understanding of what I do in Christian service or what I do in terms of my life's productivity. We are not working for anything. We are building our lives and living our lives by the purpose that God has ordained for us all by faith in the finished work of Jesus. The life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, because this is where the other part of the balance comes in.
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
It's got to be clear in your spirit that you don't go back to this rule-keeping, peer-pleasing, legalistic system of religion that is not based upon love. We are free from the law. If a dynamic living relationship comes by law, then Jesus didn't have to die. He died for nothing. If my efforts to keep the commandments and the laws of God is what's going to get me to heaven, then Jesus died in vain. I want you to understand what's clear is that Paul is saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God. What God has done for me, I accept it. And this is so powerful because it will begin to produce healing in your area of self-esteem and self-worth. Because your value to God is not based on whether you keep whether you do these three goals or not, or whether you accomplish any of these goals or any other future goals. Of course, we want to please God with our lives as living sacrifices, living holy, living acceptable, which is our reasonable service. But we do not want to get in the mindset that I'm going to be more loved by God, more favored by God, more blessed by God, or more used by God based upon my performance. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person would boast or brag or make it seem as if they've done something that's so great and that they are in a place of being untouchable. No, ma'am. No, sir. No. This is God. It is God in us working both to do his will and in his good pleasure. It is grace. It is grace through faith. I don't want anyone to think that if you slip up on a goal, if you're doing something that requires that you do a thing each day and that you miss the day, that God is not going to love you anymore, that God is going to let something happen to you. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. We are living by faith in the finished work of Jesus. Jesus did it. And it's not by our power. It's not by our might. It is a spiritual operation. I'm not going to frustrate the work of God in me by bringing my life into a life of labor. I'm free from the labor camp of sin. Sin had me in a labor camp. It had me in bondage. It had me in servitude. Salvation makes me free. I am a bond servant, but I am a servant bound through love. I am my what binds me as a bond servant, B-O-N-D. What bonds me to my servitude unto God is love. I don't want to leave God. I never wanted to be apart from God. Once I realized that I was separated, I don't want to be separated anymore. None of you on this line need to ever be separated from God again. I need somebody to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, please. And step through it. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 6 through 8. Somebody pick it up and begin to read straight away, please. Somebody other than Sister Dr. Marbury. She's doing all the reading. I know we got people on this line. Unmute yourself. We have ministers and missionaries on this line. Unmute yourself and start reading.
Well, I am now ready.
Go ahead. Thank you. Continue. Maybe you muted yourself again.
I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Oh, hold on right there. Paul is talking in this second epistle to his son, Timothy. This is one of Paul's last writings. And he understands that he's come to a point in his life where he's basically getting ready to transition. He knows that the time is over. I want you to understand that all of us only have but so much time here. And all of us are going to get to a place where our time is done. Paul recognized that this was his time. And his life is being looked upon as an offering unto God, as a drink offering. I am now ready to be offered, to be poured out completely, done, no more, poured out as an offering unto God, and the time of my departure is upon us. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. These three things is what the Lord is looking for us to do. Doesn't matter who sees us. Doesn't matter who doesn't. Doesn't matter who recognizes us. Doesn't matter who does. Doesn't matter who calls our name, recognizes us on a marquee, or does not do that at all. Paul is saying, I have fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. Nobody knows the fight you fight but you. They don't know it like you know it. Some of us are living under the same roof with others, but we don't know the full extent of the fight they're fighting. And it's not because they're hiding it. It's because their focus is on the fight. They're not focusing on commentary. They're not focusing on recording it. They're focusing on the fight. Any fighter that loses their focus will get knocked down. You're gonna get your block knocked off if you don't pay attention. And some people are suffering spiritual head trauma because they haven't been paying attention and the enemy has beaten them in the head. But Paul says, I fought a good fight. a good fight, you know when you're doing a good fight, and you know when you're not hanging in there. Paul said this out of his own mouth. He wasn't waiting for somebody else to say it about him. He said, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. I've had a course to run. I have had a path that was laid out before me. And what Paul is saying here, I have finished the race. Paul uses the analogy often in his writings that point to the athletic competition of the Olympics and the Greek contests, athleticism, and even when it comes down to battles. He uses metaphoric language. He speaks in metaphors, symbolic language, to depict the aspects, the multifaceted aspect of the Christian life. He talks as about a fighter. He talks about a runner. He talks about a child of God. I fought a good fight, finished my course. I ran the course. I didn't start it and didn't stop it. I've kept the faith. I have held on to God's word. Because faith is not about what you believe. It's about what God believes and you believing it. Some people believe things that are not biblical at all. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, based upon God's word. You can't have a hope for something that's lustful and say that's faith. You have to have godly desires and allow those godly desires to line up with God's word. And when those two things meet, you will make the finish line. He says, verse 8, please read that, sister. Read verse 8 now, please.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Thank you so much. Paul has held on to the gospel. He's held on to the word of God. He has not allowed error to creep in. He has guarded the word against error in his spirit. And here now, he is seeing the finish line. Somebody on this line, the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell you, you need to run like you can see the finish line. And you may say, Pastor, I can't see the finish line. Keep running. Keep running. Because there is a prize before you. There is a prize ahead of you. We're not working for salvation, but we will receive crowns. There are five crowns that the believer can receive based upon what they do for Jesus, what they do for the kingdom. But the thing that I want to emphasize, and this is what the Holy Spirit put in me, my spirit, to emphasize with you all tonight. Don't ever think that you are working to get God to love you. We strive, we give, we do, and we don't do it for the praise of men. Because if that's what you're doing it for, as soon as you get their praise, it's over. But tonight I want to tell somebody that God loves you. God loves you. His love for you is not based upon these goals. I absolutely want you all to get them together. I want you to work them out and put them together. That is what the Lord put in my spirit for all of us. And that goes for every person on this line. I have shared with you what the Lord has shared with me, and I know that this is from the Lord. There are those that have put their goals together, and they have shared them with me, and I salute them, and I honor them. And the list that you see before us tonight, for those of you that have your screens up, is the list of those from whom I have received the goals. I know that this may not be easy, but it's got to get done. The Holy Spirit challenged me and charged me to give this directive to you, the people of God. It shall be done in 21. No more excuses. No more self-serving. No more egotistical, self-serving ideas about what I want to do for me. I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I'm died, but I'm alive, but not in myself. I am alive in the Holy Spirit. It's not I that lives, but Christ lives in me. And by the Holy Ghost tonight, there is somebody on this line that is going to be reminded that it's not your labors that bring love. It's the love of God without any strings attached. He didn't say, do this and I'll love you. He commanded his love toward you, my friend, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't ask you to do anything to earn his love. He is not asking you to do anything to keep his love. He says, if you love me, though, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, keep my commandments, and then I'll still love you. Be careful. Be careful. Do not let anything or anyone, don't receive any word that would suggest to you that you must do something to earn God's favor or love. We couldn't do it if we tried. We would work ourselves into depression. We would work ourselves into suicide. We'd work ourselves into the insane asylum if we tried to bring works into this beautiful plan that cannot be done by the works of man. I want to go into the prayer. I've shared a bit more than what I wanted to, but the Holy Ghost was dealing with me so powerfully about this that I had to share this with you tonight. We're going to go with the men, then we're going to go with the women, then we're going to go with the young people. And I just want to say that those of you that have been praying on the line have been doing an outstanding job. And I want to particularly call out our young people who are growing and maturing into prayer warriors. This is the generation. This is what God wants to do. He wants to bring you to the place of being a prayer warrior in your own right. We're going to pause and open up this line. Our prayer leaders will come. First, the representative for the men, then the representative for the women, then the representative for the young people. Let's go into the presence of the Lord.
Father, we love you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you for this day that you have allowed us to see. It is because of your grace and your mercy that we are still here. Father, we love you, O God. We ask, O God, that you would bless us. Thank you for your word that you have given us tonight. Thank you for your manservant that you have used to strengthen us, O God, through your word. I pray, O God, that you will restore back into him everything that he has poured out. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us tonight through your word, O God. Thank you for encouraging us, even through the theme this year, that it shall be done in 21. Whatever it is that you have for us, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would do it this year. Father, I thank you, O God, for your direction. I thank you for your clarity. I thank you, O God, in the name of Jesus, for what you're getting ready to do, O God. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your way, O God, in the name of Jesus. We honor your presence, oh God. I pray, oh God, for every man. I pray, Lord, for every woman. I pray for every young person. I pray for, oh God, even the Beulah Tabernacle Church as a whole, oh God. Strengthen us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. This is your people, oh God. We cry out to you tonight. We love you. We glorify you, oh God. You are worthy of praise, honor, and glory. Oh God, you are the only one deserving of our praise. You're the only one deserving of our honor. Oh God, you're the only one deserving of the glory, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before your mighty presence, oh God. We humble ourselves before you, oh God, knowing that we're not worthy, oh God, to even be in your presence, oh God. Woe unto me, oh God. Woe unto us, oh God, for we are a people of unclean lips that dwelleth among people, oh God, who are unclean. But Lord, we thank you that you allow us, oh God, to be caught in your presence, oh God, that you allow us, oh God, to have entrance into your presence, oh God, into your glory, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you will manifest your presence in every household that is represented on this call tonight. I pray, Lord, that your presence and your glory will fill our hearts, that you will fill our minds, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you tonight, and we lift your name up. You are worthy tonight, and we thank you for all of these blessings. We believe you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. We lift up your name, Lord. We worship you for who you are. You are Savior. You are Lord. You are our soon coming King. You are the great I am that I am. You are the everlasting Father. Lord Jesus, before you there was no God form. Beside you there will never be, oh God, and none after you. We bow down before you tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We lift up your name. We are thankful to you, Jesus, and we bless your name, for you have been so good. You are more than enough. Lord Jesus, my God, we come before your presence tonight. We give you thanks for what have been said and done. Thank you for your manservant, Lord, our bishop, my God, that share the words tonight with us again to encourage our heart, Lord God. Help us, oh God, that we will absorb your word, Lord God. Let it take root in our hearts, my God. Father God, knowing that you want us to be better. Lord God, you want us to grow stronger. You want us, dear God, to be rooted and grounded in your word, rooted and grounded in your love, rooted and grounded in serving you, Lord God. When we are rooted and grounded, my God, nothing at all can separate us from your love. Oh, great God of heaven, we thank you, oh God, for the provision that you have made for your children each Tuesday night, Lord God, in Bible study. My God, where we are well fed, we are not lacking, my God. We give you glory, Father. We give you honor. We give you praise so many times, Lord. We read the scripture and we don't quite get it, Lord. We don't quite understand it. But, oh, God, when you, oh, God, place it in our pastor, Lord God, and as he share the word, oh, God, our understanding is open up more. And, Lord God, we are able, dear God, to take your word, Lord Jesus, and know what it means. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, my God, for each and every one that is on the line tonight. Thank you, my God, for even the goals that, oh God, our bishop have asked us to set. Lord God, when I get the message, Lord, I did not quite understand, but I pray and I ask of you, Lord, what can I give for my goal? And Lord God, you start to open up my understanding. Maybe someone on the line, oh God, maybe struggling. Oh God, help them to ask of you. Father God, you said anything we ask of you by faith believing, it shall be done. Father God, help them to just ask of you. There's nothing too big or too small that we cannot ask of you, Lord God. And so I ask you, Father God, your divine intervention in every heart, in every soul, in every needs, Oh God, that you will meet every needs, Lord God, that you will draw your children closer to you, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Remember us as your children. Lord God, we are your sheep. You are our shepherd. Oh God, and we just want to cling close to you and never depart, but joyfully journey each day with a song in our heart, Lord, and a song on our lips to know that our sins have been taken away. Continue to bless your work, Lord. Continue to bless your servant, Lord. Continue to bless this ministry. Continue to cover us all under your blood. Help us, Jesus, my God, hallelujah, to be faithful. Help us to be true to the trust, my God. Help us to remain humble at your feet. Oh, God, knowing that you see the proud afar off, but you draw near to the humble. Oh, God, we pray that you ever cover us under your blood, ever preserve our going out and our coming in, preserve our lying down and our rising up. Jesus, my God, there are so many dangers and harm hanging around, but Lord, we know that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. My God, if we only take you at your word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Each day that you lend us bread, oh God, surely we will overcome. My God, as the Sunday school lesson, Lord, was speaking to us, Lord God, he said we need to fight for our soul. Each day we have to fight for our soul. Father God, and as the scripture said, we should fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. My God, help us to be determined, Lord, to fight this good fight of faith, that we can lay hold on eternal life. Bless everyone that is on the line. Remember those that didn't make it tonight. Lord God, you know every needs. Lord, minister to every needs. Grant the desire of our heart, we pray. And thank you, my hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for answering prayer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh God, we humbly come before you, oh God. Thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning in our right minds, oh God. This is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, oh God. Thank you for allowing us to have this platform to be able to learn more about you. I just want to ask that you cleanse us of any sins, anything that we have done against you, oh God, anything that was not like you, oh God. I pray that you cleanse us, oh God. I pray that you have your way in our lives, lead our steps in your will. I pray that you strengthen our faith in you and that we will be steadfast in you. Thank you for the word that you gave your manservant to encourage us, oh God. I pray that you help us to not get distracted by the things of the enemy, that we should keep our focus on you, oh God. Help us to let go and let you take full control of our lives, oh God. I pray that you help us in picking and executing our SMART goals, our God, that you help us to achieve these things, oh God. We are nothing without you, oh God, and it is your grace and mercy that allows us to still be here, and we acknowledge that, oh God. We thank you because we don't deserve your love, but you still give it to us. We believe you for these things, and I thank you in advance, oh God, that because you said that anything that we ask for, oh God, it will be given unto us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Father, we thank you this night for being in your presence. Thank you for reminding us that you love us unconditionally. Thank you for reminding us that the price of our redemption has been paid in blood. Thank you that the precious blood of Jesus has come to wash away every stain and that there is no more guilt. There is no more bondage. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I thank you for the liberty that is ours in the Holy Ghost. Thank you that you have made us free in our minds. Lord, you have opened our hearts and minds to consider the fact that what Jesus did for us was not just to go and to feel pain, but it was so much more. He was wounded, yes, for our transgressions. He was bruised, yes, for our iniquities, but it was the chastisement of our peace that was also upon him. Oh God, everything that would steal the peace. Hallelujah. Anything that would steal the peace. Oh God, peace in our soul, peace in our mind, peace in our lives. Hey, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Lord, I thank you that sin has no more rule over us. Thank you that grace has come in. You have poured the oil of healing in the area of our wounds. You have poured the oil of healing in the areas where we have been hurt, and the oil still works. The oil of joy, the oil of grace, the oil of your presence, that anointing that destroys yokes. Lord, I thank you that everyone on this line listening that has the Holy Ghost has the oil. Hallelujah. The oil is on them. The oil of your spirit is on them. Lord God, we've got grace and favor because the oil is on us. We've got salvation. We've got joy. We've got righteousness. And we've got peace because the oil is on us. It's not by any works of the flesh. It's not by anything that we have done. Oh God, I thank you that you have taken us out of the prison of egocentricity. You've taken us out of the prison of doing for ourselves, by ourselves, to impress. Oh God, you have freed us from the yoke, Lord God, of impressing others. Lord, tonight somebody on this line needs to know that as long as they let their light shine, oh God, as long as they hold on to the faith, Lord God, as long as they are loyal to the word, as long as they finish their course, Lord God, that's what you've called us to. You called us to walk humbly, to love righteousness, hey, to live peacefully. Lord God, you said follow peace with all men, holiness without which no one shall see you. But Lord God, I thank you that in those times of chaos, you give us a peace that money cannot buy. You give us a peace that money cannot give us. You give us a peace that people cannot give us. It is your peace that passes understanding. It surpasses our knowledge. It's peace that just we don't know how to get. We can't even fathom it. But Lord, you give it to us through Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He has torn down the things that would have separated us from you. He has taken our place and made the way open. And so tonight, for every man on this line, we give you glory because we declare it shall be done. We're not just looking to you to do something. We're believing that you're going to use us, that you will give us the grace we need as we work with the vision that you have shared, that it shall be done in 21. We will work the works of him that sent us while it's day. Hey, Hanadaboshanda, for when the night comes, no man can work. Yes, we are your workmanship, created unto good works that you hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh God, you told us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. But Lord God, we're not working for salvation. We're working because we are saved. And Lord, what does that mean? It means we're living a life of love. We're serving you out of love. We're serving you out of faith. Yes, we're doing it out of obedience, but it's obedience with the basis of love. Yes, the life that we live by faith of the Son of God, we live it. Hey, because you loved us. We can live it because you loved us. We can do it because you loved us. We can do all things because you loved us. And so tonight, we yield ourselves to you in a fresh new perspective, in a fresh way, under the relationship of love. Yes, it's not us, but it's Christ. And the night we declare we're living a life of and by faith, we're living a life of and by love. We're living because you loved us. We're living because of faith. We're walking because you loved us. We're standing strong, taking away the stagger and giving us a swagger. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to you and being fully persuaded that what you had promised, that you were able to perform it. And so tonight, I thank you for the performance of your word. I thank you for performing it through us. I thank you for the performance of your word. I thank you for performing it through us. We are your instruments. We are your vessels. So perform your goodwill through us. Perform by the power of your might through us. We yield ourselves as humble servants before a mighty God. And we thank you tonight for your healing touch. We thank you tonight for your saving touch. And Lord, if there's somebody that's listening that needs salvation, we are praying for them right now that they will understand just how much you loved us. You loved us so that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we pray for a sinner that's listening right now that they might be saved. We pray for a backslider who's listening right now that they might know it's fine. You can come back home. And so, God, tonight, we thank you for these and all other blessings. We ask them in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In that powerful name, we declare and we decree it shall be done in 21 in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with you all until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.